You pray with me, please. God, I come before you this morning, just ask that you'll be with me this morning as I speak, as just please allow the words and the thoughts and the emotions to come directly from your heart to those who are listening. Father, I pray that we will all have open hearts and open minds to receive your word, to feel your love and your acceptance through the things that we'll study this morning. Please watch over us and bless us in all that we do. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. So I'm about to fight this real quick for a second because I forgot to get the wireless mic on. So hopefully that'll work because I'm not going to go chase it down right now. The first official day of spring was March 20th. And because this is Central Ohio, the temperature since then has ranged from a high of 78, yeah, right? Remember that day? It was last weekend. To a low of 25. Boo, right? We've had everything from snowfall to sunburn. And so, as we head into this week, we can all look forward to the big event that we've all been waiting for since way back in December. That's the release of The Force Awakens, right? Everybody? You with me? Other geeks? No, not so much. Okay, actually, it's more like the spring lawn and garden sales that are about to hit us, right? Spring Black Friday, I know you heard of that. It was new to me, but it's upon us. I know that some of you are just chomping at the bit to get out there and get after it. As soon as the weather starts cooperating, right? It's time to pull the weeds, till the soil, and spread the fertilizer. But why all the bother? Can't we just throw some seed on the ground and be done with it? I mean, if God wants it to grow, it'll grow, right? Well, I think if you were to ask any gardener, either a professional or a hobbyist, they'll tell you that the secret is to get the environment right. The right amount of water, the right amount of fertilizer, the right amount of sunlight. Get the environment right, and things just grow. Let me ask you, what kind of an environment do people need to become the masterpieces of beauty that God intended? That's what we've been talking about. How do we create the kind of environment, the kind of culture, where we can all grow into more and more of the people that God intended us to be? Because we all play a part in creating the culture of our church. Today, we continue the series, No Perfect People Allowed, based on the book, the same title by John Burke. First lesson, we looked at how creating a culture of acceptance, where we see people as masterpieces rather than mud, is how we work with God in his cleansing work of restoration, by giving people the space and the grace to experience acceptance in our family and to begin to move past self-condemnation and judgment onto a state of full acceptance as his adopted children, where people are reminded they don't need to fear judgment or condemnation because Christ died to set them free of that fear. Last time, we looked at the reality that by being willing to risk authenticity, we can help one another live in truth, and we can help one another heal through confession. By allowing ourselves to both hear and to say that last 10% that is so risky, we can actually experience what God says is true about us. And thus, we help each other to find freedom. A culture that says if we drop pretenses and are ruthlessly honest with God and a few other people, that we can help each other grow. But there's another essential nutrient needed, and that's intentionality. We need the soil of intentional growth, a culture that says, come as you are, but don't stay that way. That's what we want to talk about this morning. We all know deep inside that we're not yet who we are intended to be, right? We all know, if we're honest, that we're not as selflessly loving as we could be. We don't have peace or patience or compassion like we long for. Our self-control is often out of control. We worry and stress and feel discontent more than we'd like to ever admit to. We often feel controlled by runaway lust, fears, and jealousy. We'd like to feel closer to God than we do. We're not able to consistently enjoy life or to give life to our families and our friends. Now, if you can't relate to anything that I just said, you might want to ask the people that live with you if they would give you a grade of needs improvement, right? This is why we say, come as you are, but don't stay that way. God loves us as is. He accepts us as is by his grace. But he loves us too much to leave us floundering, chasing down dead-end streets. He gives us grace so that we can grow. We all long to be in a place where we can be honest about our good parts and our bad, our successes and our failures, without fear of judgment, where there's hope to become more and more of what God intended and what we know we were meant to be. Scripture paints a beautiful picture of this culture of growth. In Hebrews chapter 10, writer says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as we see the day approaching." Well, our first reaction might be, how? But I would say maybe a better first reaction is, what are we not going to do? And this is what we're not going to do. We are not going to turn our efforts to be intentional into some new kind of law or measuring stick or work of the flesh or self-help program. If there's one thing we should have learned from the Old Testament, it's that we weren't able to keep the law. Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 3. He says, "I would like to ask you just one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" So we're not going to go there. We're not going to turn this into another form of law to where we keep score and, you know, we're just not going to go there. There's no need for it. So what are we going to do? We're going to have a strategy for being intentional about our growth in the Lord. The first thing we're going to do is to take a regular personal inventory. Socrates declared that the unexamined life is not worth living. One of the most important spiritual practices that we can put into place is a regular personal moral inventory, reflecting on our behaviors, our habits, who we are and who God wants us to be, and being honest about reality. Weekly, if not even daily, set a reminder on the calendar of your phone, put it on star something, you know, pick a day that works for you, and set it to be a regular practice to where you reflect for however long it takes you, 5 minutes or an hour, to see what is God doing in your life? What are you doing with that life? It's praying the prayer of David from Psalm 139, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Of course, most people lead unexamined lives. Why is this? Fear of facing pain or facing judgment and condemnation, which again is why grace is the foundation of all spiritual growth. Knowing that God does not condemn us, that he is for us and not against us allows us to open our lives up before him and to face reality, both the good and the bad. One way to do this is by reflecting on what God is trying to produce in our lives, which is spiritual fruit. From Galatians chapter 5, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like." Sounds like a lot of reality TV shows. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." We don't have to try hard to change ourselves. We just need to stay living moment by moment, willing to follow God's Spirit. And in time, the old things pass away and new fruit starts growing. This is a great list to reflect on regularly. Second strategy for being intentional is regular input and communication. These are the things like reading scripture, regular time for prayer and solitude, listening to spiritual input in lessons on Sundays or in your small group. But why? Why do we do this? So that you'll know God's heart and his will, so that your heart will be prepared and willing in the heat of the moment when the pressure is on to respond to his Spirit. These practices are like keeping the soil well-watered and fertilized. Yes, God causes the growth, but what kind of soil are you planting yourself in? Does it help you stay connected? The third strategy for being intentional is habit-breaking practices. God causes the growth when we set our minds on responding to his Spirit. The only problem is most of us have years, if not decades, of mental training doing just the opposite. It's very unnatural for us to consider God's will or desires at all during the average day. Instead, most of our days are lived on autopilot, completely ignoring God. That's why we need some creative habit-breaking practices as well. Like gardening stakes, they get us growing in the right direction. They may not always be needed, but for the moment, they give us support to not bend or break to our old habits so that God's power can help us overcome. When you just can't help yourself because you automatically distrust, or you automatically lust, or you automatically overspend, or you automatically lie, or you automatically feel envy, or you automatically judge, you automatically drink too much, or you automatically respond with impatience or anger or worry. All of this is habitual. We've trained ourselves this way for years. We've trained our minds to automatically respond to certain stimuli, but that's really the good news, because it also means that we can form new habits that keep us responding to God instead of our old habits that force us to ignore him. We can grow and we can change. It's not impossible. Those dealing with addictions have found that they need 90 meetings in 90 days to lay a foundation to overcome their destructive behaviors. What you find whatever addiction you struggle with is that constant contact with God over time causes the need for that fix to subside, replaced by an ability to live in a fuller way where you don't want that crutch anymore. The habit-breaking 90 and 90 simply helps you to stay connected, and then God causes the growth. If we're successful in our quest, that's great. If we fall on our faces over and over and over again, well, we're going to pick one another up and start over again. Let's not say start over again. Let's just say we start again. So what can we do to form some new habits? What are some things that you can do I would say, let's embrace things like our modern technology. I downloaded the other day an app on my phone. It's designed for reminders to take medicine. I chose it because I could set a reminder to do a thing, take medicine, so to speak, like 12 times a day. Set it up to look like a little inhaler. And like every hour and 20 minutes, it pops up and it reminds me to breathe, to reflect on what God has been doing over the last hour and a half or so, and to ask how I can be attentive going forward to what he's doing. If you would like to embrace something like that, there are a lot of them out there. Go to the app store for your phone, look it up, look up medical reminder, something like that. You can find something. Use the calendar on your phone. Set yourself something, a reminder every day at a certain time or multiple times. Text each other. You've got your friends' phone numbers. When you get up in the morning or when you go to take lunch or whatever it is, remind them, hey, how things are going. What's God doing in your life right now? Embrace the technology that we have to help you to break the bad habits that you have. I joke frequently when I go places, like if I take my kids to a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, they always want to schedule a follow-up. And I put it right on my calendar immediately because I tell them, my brain doesn't work anymore. I turned it off years ago, right? I let this thing do all the hard remembering for me. So embrace it. Use it. Use what works for you. You can also do something as simple is carrying around one of these little cards. It's got a couple scripture verses on it. The one from John where Jesus says that I am the vine and you are the branches. You need to remain in me. Psalm 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me in my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. In the passage from Galatians 5, talking about the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Pull it out, set it up on your calendar, put it somewhere before you where you can reflect on it on a regular basis. But ask that question of God, what can I do? How can I be attentive to what you are doing in my life? Another thing that you can use is a simple little charm or a trinket or something to kind of just to poke your memory. I was at a gathering of some Christians a couple weeks ago, and after it broke up, we were kind of mulling around, and a guy was showing me this whole little stack of these coins, and it's from where they have a recovery program, and it's a coin that says something like taking the next step. And what they do is they offer it at the end of a recovery session. If you want to come and you just want something to hold on to remind you that you are taking the next step. You know, when something gets tough and it's there in your pocket, it's there to just kind of nudge you a little bit and to bring a little focus to your mind. This one happens to say on it, made with love. And it's specifically to remind you that God made you special. He had you in mind, that he loves you intently. You can put it on your keychain, you can put it in your pocket, you can lose it in the laundry. The invitation to you this morning is to find a way that works for you to help remind you to stay connected to God, to be open to what he is doing in your immediate, right now, what he's been doing in a big picture, where he's leading you forward, how he's helping you out and over. Because when you do, when you embrace what God is doing in your life, you'll never be the same again. He will change you. He will mold you and make you new. So this morning, I invite you, if you would like, you can have one of these cards. You can have one of these trinkets. There's some in the back too. If there's anything that we can do, if we can pray with you, for you, if we can help you in your journey in any way, if you would like to surrender your life to Christ and put him on in baptism, whatever need that you may have this morning, we would like to help you with that. We would like to be a loving family to put our arms around you. If you come and stand with us at this time, we'll sing a song of invitation.